turn in our Bibles to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, continuing our series on Mark. And we'll be reading verses 14 to 34. And if you don't have a Bible, there are papers in the back with the text printed on it. Mark chapter 1, verses 14 to 34. Hear the reading of God's word. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called to them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then, a man in the synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching? And with authority. He even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John into the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak, because they knew who he was. Thus the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. Please keep your Bibles open as we'll be working through our passage together. The first 2 weeks of our study in Mark and our preaching this series, we learned about the prologue. We learned about the beginning of a new age, the beginning of the age of the gospel, the beginning of the age of Jesus Christ. And Mark has proven that through God's inspiration, through the Spirit of God. He wrote down this prophecy of Isaiah the prophet, and he demonstrates that this is true. He shows that the prophecy has been fulfilled. John the Baptist is the messenger who's calling out in the wilderness. John the Baptist is the one who is sent ahead of the Lord Jesus Christ. And John the Baptist comes calling the people out of their land, out of the land of Judah and Jerusalem, and he's calling them as a people to be a new people of God, separate from their old way of life. And he's baptizing them. And 1 Corinthians 10 tells us that Israel, as a land, as a people, were baptized into the Red Sea. They were called out of the land of Egypt and called as a new people of God, baptized in the Red Sea. And now John is calling a new people, and he's baptizing them. But the people go back. They go back to their homes after they are baptized. But there's one truly repentant one, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, who comes with true repentance. And the Lord Jesus Christ, who doesn't repent of his own sins, but he repents of the sins of his people. And so Jesus comes like all the other people, and when he's baptized, heaven comes open and God declares, "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." And so Jesus is God's son. Jesus is the fulfillment of the Israel, which God called his son Israel out of Egypt. Now Jesus comes as the firstborn of the new Israel, of the new people of God, as his son. And immediately the Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness. And like the Israel of old, he was wandering in the wilderness. And Israel wandered for 40 years, but Jesus wandered for 40 days. And he suffered all the same things that the first Israel suffered. He was hungry. He was thirsty. The sun was hot. There were wild animals out there. And Jesus was out there with him, being tempted by Satan. But Jesus didn't fall. Because it tells us that Jesus was with the wild animals, and the angels attended him. Jesus is showing us a picture of heaven. He's showing us a picture of the future. He overcomes the devil. The wild animals aren't wild anymore, but they're tame around Jesus. And the angels are there attending him. And so Jesus is showing us the new kingdom, the new age that he brings into this world. Jesus is starting to take control of history. From Genesis 3 on, Satan has been wandering wild all over this earth. And now Jesus is beginning to take it back. Jesus is coming as the light of the world into this world of darkness. And he's bringing it light. And so here comes Jesus. And the first thing we read in verse 14 is that John was put in prison. John the Baptist, his ministry is done. He has done his preparation. He has shown the coming of the greater one. And the greater one has bound the devil. And he's bringing in a new kingdom. And so here comes Jesus into Galilee. He's proclaiming the news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Jesus comes in as the new Joshua. Joshua led the people of Israel into the land of Canaan, and they conquered the land as a people. But that was only a shadow. It was only a shadow of what Jesus is doing here. Jesus has gone out into the wilderness. Jesus has overcome the devil. Jesus is entering the land, and he's bringing in a spiritual kingdom, a heavenly kingdom. He's taking this land which is under the control of the devil, and he's bringing it back to himself. The time is fulfilled. The time has come. I am the new Joshua. And to enter this kingdom, this new kingdom of God, repent and believe the good news. Repent of the sins of your old ways. Repent of being under the power of the devil and turn away from those things and follow me. Believe this good news. Now keep in mind that as Jesus is entering this land, the people in our story today don't know what you know. They don't know what has just been explained to you and what you have just seen in these first two sermons. They don't know that Jesus was out in the wilderness and that he overcame the devil. They don't know that he was baptized as God's son. They do not know that he's proclaiming that the time is fulfilled. They see him as somebody who's just come out of the desert, and they don't know who he is. And so here he comes. And the battle in the rest of this book is over the hearts of the people. It's over the hearts of the people between Jesus and between the devil. The people have to love the world, or they have to love Christ. And so Jesus walks along beside the Sea of Galilee, and he sees Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Now the Sea of Galilee was a place where there was a lot of traffic going from all the region. They would all go to this place along the Sea of Galilee to collect their fish. In other words, if there was a place to proclaim Jesus' message, it would be here because it would spread quickly. And so Jesus goes there, and here's Simon and Andrew, and they're doing what they do every day. They're fishing. Just two guys standing along the lake fishing. And here comes Jesus, this man who's been in the desert being tempted by the devil, and he shouts to them, "Come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And so how do they react? Wait. I'm not sure if the Holy Spirit has moved my heart yet. Wait. I don't feel the emotion that God is calling me to follow. You see, Jesus is calling them. He's effectually calling them. What do? At once, they left their nets. They left what they were doing. They left their job, and they followed him. And it goes on that when Jesus goes a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. And without delay, he called to them. And look what they did. They left their father. Notice the details that is added in the second part. They left their father, their family. They were standing there like they do every day, fishing, helping their father, making his money. And they left him. And not only did they leave their father standing there in the boat, but they left the hired men. Their father was wealthy. Their father had hired men. Their father had a good fishing business. And these people, if they stayed, if John and James had stayed, they would someday inherit this fishing business and their life would be comfortable for the rest of their lives. And now here comes Jesus out of the desert and he calls to them, come follow me. And they left it. They left it all. But notice who takes the initiative here. In both cases, if you look at verse 16, you see that Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee and he saw them. And in the second story, you see the same thing, that Jesus saw them. He saw them as he saw them from the foundations of the world when they were first laid. He saw his people. They don't know who he is. They're just standing there along the boats, fishing, doing what they do every day. And Jesus sees them. He sees his people and he calls them and they follow. They leave it all behind. And there's one other thing you need to see. It's in verse 16 that Andrew was casting a net into the lake. If you do a study of the Greek term there, you would see that the term is used for a circular net, which is thrown out, and there's weights on the end of that net. And so the net is thrown out, and the weights close down, and the fish are captured. Now turn to Habakkuk. Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. Zephaniah. Habakkuk, a prophecy given. Habakkuk chapter 1. And if you look at verse 14, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. Habakkuk 1, verse 14. Habakkuk writes to God, "You have made men like fish in the sea." In other words, the world is like a sea, and men are like fish in the sea, like sea creatures that have no ruler. The wicked foe, that is the devil, pulls all of them up with hooks. He catches them in his net, and he gathers them up to his dragnet. And so he rejoices and is glad. Therefore he sacrifices to his net and burns incense to his dragnet, for by his net he lives in luxury and enjoys the choicest food. Is he to keep on emptying his net, destroying the nations without mercy? Habakkuk is describing the world as a sea, and people are living in this sea. They are like fish, and the devil has them trapped. And do you see what Jesus has done? Jesus has thrown out his net. He's thrown out his net to Simon and Andrew and to James and John, and his net has rescued them from the world, from the evil that the devil controls. They have been pulled by Jesus' net into his kingdom. And what does he tell them? That he will make them fishers of men. In other words, they will cast out the nets. They will become the ones who will fish, not for fish anymore, but they will bring people in through God's power into the kingdom. And so these men follow Jesus, and they go to Capernaum. And when the Sabbath comes, Jesus goes into the synagogue and he begins to teach. Now the synagogue was a place where the Jews worshiped God. They would go into the synagogue and the teachers of the law would teach them from the law of how they were to live and what they were to do. Now Jesus comes in and he begins to teach. And we know what Jesus was teaching, don't we? Because Mark has told us earlier, the time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. I am the new Joshua. I am the new kingdom. I will rescue you from Satan and his wrath. Don't follow Satan. Get away from him. He's going to destroy you. The time has come. Believe in me. And the people, they're all amazed at his teaching. He teaches with authority. He's not like the teachers of the law. The teachers of the law taught according to tradition. They taught, they had a question, they would ask the teachers of the law, and the teachers of the law would say, according to our tradition, this is what you need to do. But now Jesus comes on the scene, and he speaks the word of God. He speaks the word of God to the people, calling them to repent of their sins and to believe in him as their Savior. And then a man in the synagogue who is possessed by an evil spirit cries out, what do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. The devil has heard the word of God. He's heard the message of Jesus that he is going to be destroyed, and he's shuddering. The word of God is like a sword. It is a double-edged sword that is piercing his heart. The devil cannot sit there amazed like all these people because he knows that he's going to be destroyed. He knows what happened out there in the wilderness that the people don't know. He knows that Jesus has overcome him. He knows that Jesus is more powerful than him. And so he's afraid. He doesn't know what Jesus is up to. And he's afraid that he's going to be destroyed. And so right there, in front of all those people, Jesus demonstrates that what he was teaching was true. Right there in front of all those people, he demonstrates what happened in the wilderness. Be quiet, he said sternly. Come out of him. Jesus controls the devil. Jesus can silence him in 1 second. Jesus orders him. He orders him where he can go. And he relieves that man because the spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. Jesus pushes the spirit out, just as the devil will someday do. He will kick him out of this world and he'll be destroyed. And so right there in front of all the people, they see this. They see that the words that Jesus spoke is true. And what do? The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, what is this? A new teaching with authority. He even gives orders to the evil spirits, and they obey him. And we're sitting here this morning saying, what is the matter with those people? Don't they see it? Don't they see what's going on here? We see it. The devil sees it. Jesus is more powerful than the devil. Jesus is going to destroy him. Jesus is proclaiming the kingdom of God. He's bringing in a new kingdom. What's the matter with you people? Why don't you believe? All they can say is, what is this? A new teaching and with authority. He even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey. But the news about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. The news about Jesus coming is spreading all over the region. He's gone to Galilee, and the news has gone out to all the other areas. They've gone through there, and they've heard it. And as soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. And Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her took her hand and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. Jesus is a picture of heaven. Well, Jesus is heaven. There is no pain in heaven. There is no suffering in heaven. And now Jesus comes and he sees this mother-in-law, and heaven takes her hand and heals her. The fever leaves her. And what does she do? She begins to serve him. The evidence is there. She's not like those other people who run out and say, "Wow, Jesus healed my fever. You should see this guy. He can do wonderful miracles." No. She began to serve him. Some people think, well, Jesus healed her so she could make dinner. Jesus did not heal her so she could make dinner. He's demonstrating his power, and that the fever was leaving her. He's demonstrating that he is a picture of heaven, that he is heaven coming down, and that's what heaven is like, with no fevers. And she's demonstrating what people are supposed to do when they come to know Jesus. They serve him. And so right here, Mark has given us what Jesus' mission and what his journey is. He comes into the kingdom. He calls people to follow him. He throws out his net and he rescues them from wrath. And then he teaches, as he did in the synagogue. He's going to drive out demons, as he did in the synagogue. And he's going to heal people. And so that evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. The whole town is out there, gathered at the door. They're coming from all over the place to see Jesus. But notice that something is missing. Jesus is healing many with various diseases. Jesus is driving out demons, but there's no teaching. These people have heard that Jesus can make their life on this earth better. Go to Jesus and he'll heal you. Go to Jesus and he'll drive out that demon-possessed man. Your life on this earth can be better. But they don't see the greater picture, do they? For some reason, these people don't get it. All they can do is sit there and be amazed at his teaching and see him trying to make their life on this earth better. And you're saying to yourself, what's the matter with you people? Don't you see what's going on here? Jesus is bringing in a new kingdom. Jesus has thrown out his net, and he can take you in his net, and he can take you into his kingdom, and you are the ones who need to follow him. And the devil knows it too. He knows that Jesus is bringing in a new kingdom. He knows that he's going to be destroyed, and he says it in front of all the people. But all they can do is sit there and say, what is this? A new teaching, and with authority. He even gives orders to evil spirits, and they obey him. And so the question someone has to ask when they read this text this morning is this. What about us? Are we getting it? Are we coming to church and to Jesus because we think he can make our life on this earth better? Are we coming here because we enjoy church and the social part of it, because we hear these biblical principles and they can make our life better on this earth, and our life was terrible before, but if we live by these principles, our life will be good? Are we coming to Jesus just because, well, I'm concerned about my children, But don't tell me I have to leave things to follow him. No, I want no part of that. The church needs to be like the disciples, to leave behind their old self with its passions and desires and whatever it takes, and to follow Jesus. Jesus has rescued people who follow him, who hear his call from the sin and destruction that follows. And his call out this morning is this: come, follow me. Amen. We have this passage before us. We have greater knowledge than the people in our text do, because we know the ending, because we have seen the fulfillment, because Mark, by your Holy Spirit, has shown us the fulfillment of the prophecy. And to us, Father, the people look so silly. They look so dumb. Yet, Father, we can see ourselves sometimes in that. We can see ourselves losing our focus and focusing on this world and our lives here and how much we want to make it better. And we forget the heavenly part, the kingdom that you bring, a kingdom which pushes out the devil from us, a kingdom in which the devil cannot touch us, a kingdom in which you heal our bodies, a kingdom in which you call us to follow you. And Father, we know that even the disciples, towards the end of the gospel, also fall away. But you, by their Holy Spirit, bring them back. You help them to become fishers of men. And Father, help us. Help us also to become fishers of men, to love you more, to serve you more, to leave behind what is pulling us away from you, and to trust you with all of our hearts. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.